Good evening and welcome to E-Bible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight will be study number 41 of Revelation chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And we've been following along in verse after verse as the Apostle John has been given a vision, a look into one like unto the Son of Man that was in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And we know that this isn't a literal description of Christ, but it is God giving a description of what this one like unto the Son of Man look like in order to teach us certain truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why his head and his hairs were white like wool, to identify with a lamb, because he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And his eyes as a flame of fire, which we discussed in our last study, in order to teach us that Christ is the judge of all the earth, and his eyes see all the sins of mankind, and this provokes the wrath of God towards unsaved sinners. And now we're moving on to verse 15, and it's continuing to describe this one like unto the Son of Man, who is Christ himself, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And we wonder, well, why is God discussing his feet, and why liken them to fine brass as if burned in a furnace? Well, we do know the Bible tells us of the feet of Christ. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says in that verse, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And so the feet of Christ are involved in the sending forth of the gospel when God was evangelizing the world, in seeking his lost sheep, in finding all the elect individuals, wherever they might have been in the world, and all down through history, God was seeking them out, and the Lord Jesus personally is said to be the one whose feet were going forth to bring the good tidings of salvation. Now we know there's a parallel verse in the book of Romans that is almost the same as this verse in Isaiah, except it doesn't say the feet of him, but the feet of them. And that it would be the body of believers. And, you know, it's really one and the same, as God would move his people to go forth to accomplish his purpose, his will. It would be as though Christ's feet were the ones traveling the countrysides and the villages and towns and cities of the earth, and because he was the mover of his body, the children of God, who out of obedience and love towards him were desirous to do this and did perform this task obediently during the period of the day of salvation. So that's one aspect to the feet of Christ, and there's other things involved regarding the feet. The feet do also tie in with the will of the one that is spoken of, and so we could also understand this to relate to the will of Christ. Well, his feet were like unto fine brass, and fine brass is a translation of the one Greek word found in the original text. But that Greek word is a compound word. And the translators attempted to give the full meaning of that compound word by translating it as two English words, fine brass. But when we look at the two words that are used, the two Greek words that make up Strong's number 5474, which is a compound Greek word, we find that one is properly translated brass. It's the typical word for brass. But the other word that is found joined to it is the word for frankincense. It is clearly the word for frankincense. And this word should be translated as frankincense or possibly incense, but not fine brass. The better translation of this compound word would be frankincense brass or brass frankincense. The word order doesn't matter. Probably frankincense brass sounds better, but the translators didn't translate it that way because it doesn't really make that much sense to have frankincense brass. What does that mean? What is God trying to say by that? Well, let's take a look into the book of Leviticus, where we'll find God using frankincense in a couple of places. In Leviticus chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, we'll read the first two verses, and then a later two verses in the same chapter. And when any will offer a meat offering unto Jehovah, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah. And then later in verse 14, and if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto Jehovah, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears, and thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. Frankincense was an incense used with the sacrifices, with the offering made by fire. It was to be used with other elements in the sacrifice, and all the sacrifices that God commanded point to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, frankincense is an incense that identifies with the sacrifice of Christ. You know, this is one of the reasons when the wise men came from the east, as they were following the star to find the Messiah, they wanted to worship him, that when they finally found the young child Jesus, he was a little toddler then. It says in Matthew 2 in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Frankincense is an element, again, an incense that would be used in the offerings of a sacrifice. And here we can see spiritually God having the wise men from the east present frankincense to the Lord Jesus and his family in order to relate the sacrifices of the Old Testament with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so we see that frankincense has everything to do with the sacrifices, and they in turn have everything to do with the sacrifice of Christ. So we're not surprised that his feet, Revelation 1:15 tells us, was like unto fine brass or frankincense brass. Now we can understand why God used frankincense, but why brass? Why identify frankincense with brass? Well, we do know this, that the Lord associates the Lord Jesus Christ with brass in a few places, but in Numbers chapter 21, actually many of the vessels of the temple or of the tabernacle before it were made of brass. The altar was of brass. But in Numbers 21, we read, beginning in verse 7, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against Jehovah and against thee. Pray unto Jehovah that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And Jehovah said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." And here, that serpent of brass would have to point to Jesus, because it provided deliverance and salvation to the rebellious sinner. If he looked upon the serpent, he lived. And we know that the serpent of brass identifies with Christ because in the Gospel of John, it is related to him. In John chapter 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So the serpent of brass was a spiritual illustration of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Christ is typified by that image of the serpent that was made out of brass. Now, there's another verse I just want to look at quickly before we move on. And it's found in the book of Job. In Job chapter 28, it says in the first two verses, "Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone." Now, there's some discussion about where brass comes from, but we're just going to go with God's statement here in the Bible, and we'll just use the picture that the Lord just provided. Brass is molten out of the stone. The word molten is a word also translated as poured or poured out of the stone. And we know that Jesus is also typified as a stone. It says in Isaiah 28 in verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." That is also referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the stone, just like he is the rock. And God also uses the same word, stone. So the brass comes, is molten out of the stone. And again, we can see how that ties in to Jesus himself. And here in our verse, in Revelation 1 verse 15, "His feet like unto fine brass or frankincense brass," that is brass that is related to the sacrifice, and the sacrifice that is put to the fire. And that's why we're not surprised that the next statement continues on to say, as if they burned in a furnace. So in other words, Christ's feet are also related to the fact that he has offered up himself as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the sins of his people, that he has endured the fires of God's wrath for their sake. And as a result, well, he is qualified to go forth with the gospel to seek those individuals that he died for in order that they might hear the gospel, that beautiful gospel, the glad tidings of the word of God, and that they might become saved. Well, now let's look at the next phrase, as if they burned in a furnace. And, you know, again, Christ is being described in this way to teach us these things about the sacrifice of himself. And now, again, the word burned and also furnace. And let's look at the word furnace first. In Matthew 13, it's found twice, in verse 42 and in verse 50. Verse 42 says, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And then in verse 50, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." They're almost identical statements, and they have to do with the judgment of God, the punishment, the wrath of God upon sinners for their sins, the transgressions of God's law. And furnace would relate to the judgment of God, the fiery wrath of God. Well, let's also go to Revelation 9, and we'll read the first couple of verses, where it says in verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." And this is a reference to the Lord Jesus. He is likened to a star here, and he is the one that possesses the keys to death. He is the one who has the key, the only one able to open up the pit. And it says in verse 2, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." Now, we know that Revelation 9 is speaking of Judgment Day for many reasons. Well, one is that the previous chapter in the last verse, Revelation 8, verse 13, pronounced three woes to the inhabitants of the earth. And that phrase alone identifies with the inhabitants of the world, the people of the world, and outside of the church. And that phrase is found in Jeremiah chapter 25, for instance, after God is bringing judgment on the city called by his name. Then he turns to the nations of the world, and it says in verse 29, "For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Jehovah of hosts." And that is the transition statement from God's judgment on the church to the expanded judgment now on all unsaved people of the world. And so Revelation chapter 8, the first four trumpets dealt with the judgment on the churches, but the last three trumpets are still to sound. So, woe, woe, woe. The final three trumpets are each likened to a woe. and they are for the inhabitants of the earth, for the people outside of the churches. It's a very nice transition, just as we find in Jeremiah chapter 25. Of course, the second big reason that Revelation 9 is focused on the judgment of unsaved mankind, the whole earth, is that the sun is darkened. And we know Matthew 24 and other verses, Matthew 24:29 and other verses, inform us that immediately after the tribulation, the sun is darkened. And the tribulation is the time of judgment on the churches. So immediately after follows the judgment on the world. And now a third reason would be this word furnace. As we saw in Matthew 13, in those two places, it's describing the wrath of God on mankind. And now there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. It is the day of judgment. The wrath of God now is being poured out upon the inhabitants of the earth. And judgment day, we could also understand that to be a day of fire, a day of fiery fury, as God is now showing his anger that he has for all those that have sinned against him. And this great furnace demonstrates that anger. It pictures the all-consuming, fiery God in which the people of the world now have to do with. And so we see three verses that this word furnace refers to the judgment of God. And that helps us to understand in our verse in Revelation 1:15, his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, that again, God is stressing, he's emphasizing with each of these statements, and then re-emphasizing by the next statement as we're looking at it, that Jesus went through the wrath of God, that he had to endure the fiery wrath of the Father, but not for his own sins or his own sake, for the sins of his people. Well, the word burned, let's just look at that quickly before we continue on. The word burned is found in Revelation 3 in verse 18, and we'll also see the word furnace again. And this word, the Greek word translated as burned, is translated as tried in Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Well, here it says fire and not furnace, but it's the same idea. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried or burned in the fire. And that is, Jesus has gone through that fire for his people, and there in him is salvation. So the wise counsel of God is to go to him, to look upon that serpent of brass that you might live. Look upon the one who has been formed out of the fire, and beseech God. And this would have been during the day of salvation, when the Lord's mercy was still available, and we could go to God presently, and we could cry out, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Could I be one of your elect? Now, of course, that prayer needs to be corrected, since we have entered into the day of judgment and the day of salvation has concluded. We can still go to God. We can still beseech him for mercy. But we would pray, differently. We would pray, oh Lord, could I be one of those elect individuals that Christ died for? And also, could I be one that you have already applied that redemption to before you shut the door of heaven on May 21 of 2011 when Judgment Day began?